Heavenly Father, we do praise you and thank you that we can come before you freely. Father, we ask now that you can put aside all those things that surround our minds. Father, give us clarity of thought. But Father, we do ask that you will open up our hearts. May your Spirit be at work amongst us. May our hearts be soft and responsive to you and you alone. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Please, can you get your Bibles out? You'll need them. I won't be referring to each verse directly, so you'll need to be sort of following along as we go. So it'd be great if you had your Bibles open, Proverbs chapter 5, and as we can look at God's Word together. I'd like to say this morning, before I kick on any further, if you're single or unmarried, you might be thinking that this passage is not really anything to do with you this morning. You've got no issues about any of this because adultery isn't necessarily a problem for you. Can I ask that you move from that sort of thinking and join with the rest of us as we walk through this passage? I believe there's something for everyone here this morning to be encouraged or challenged by. And also, you can certainly play an important role in encouraging those that are married, encouraging those that are struggling. So whether you're single or married, wherever you're at, certainly today's passage has something for each of us. So Proverbs chapter 5. The writer of Proverbs talks about wisdom. Wisdom in Proverbs is often spoken of as a female persona, something that we seek after or to follow, to know or to listen to. It's often referred to throughout the whole book of Proverbs. And this might be a helpful analogy for the young men and boys as they were listening, as they would be understanding all that they do about love at that age. Obviously, they're interested in girls when they're young men, and so therefore, to pursue her, to arrange chance meetings with her, and just to get to know her better is often an opportunity that they would seek. And to have wisdom as that mindset and that thought can sometimes be a helpful analogy. Then they should be doing the same for wisdom in that sense, like that they should be desiring wisdom. They should have that same single-mindedness about it, as often they do towards the opposite sex. Here, in the first three verses of Proverbs chapter 5, we see that it is the father talking to his son and trying to share what he's learnt from his life, what he may have experienced or even seen around him. He's warning his son to be not seduced by the woman. The adulterous woman's lips are as sweet as honey. No matter how good you might think you have it, you cannot help but think, or look, or imagine, which then may turn into moves and action. Not because of what you have at the moment is bad, the person that you're with is bad, or not sweet, but it might just be even sweeter. It might be better with someone else. Verse 3, for the lips of the adulteress drip like honey, smoother than oil is her speech. Her words are enticing. And if you're only thinking about the here and now and how alluring the situation might be, and not thinking about the end and how bad the consequences can be from such actions, but it might just be a great moment, then that's when it can all start to fall apart. We can easily forget about the journey of getting there and what's going to happen after the event. And that's when you find ourselves in the midst of adultery. What you have doesn't look as good as what is over there, or who is over there. There should be a bit of confrontation amongst us all at this point. That should be rather confronting for us men, and for the ladies, the women amongst us, in just how easy all this can take place. You can be so quickly drawn into the thinking and then into the action. Just because you think the other person might be better or what they have might be just worth it. The world tries to sell this message to you every day, does it not? In the shows that we watch, the ads that we see, the songs that we listen to, if you aren't happy with the one you love, then love the one you're with. It's a bit of an older song, so some of you younger people might have got that one. Look it up. Actually, it's not that the world says It's not what the world says with most things today, is it not? Just get a better one. Just get the newer one. Move on, move up, move into the next one. Because the old one is no longer useful. And the world even says, you need it. You even deserve to have the better one. So why wouldn't you? In verses 4 to 6, the Father gives instructions very quickly to bring in what looks like what it looks like after the event. Behind the scenes of the adultery, here we find that she's as bitter as woodworm. Friends, don't recommend going and tasting woodworm, or wormwood, I should say. The plant, you can still buy it, you can still grow it. Apparently, it's awful. She's as sharp as a two-edged sword. Death is just round the corner. She stands in death. Her feet are there at death's door. She's walking straight into death and she's unaware of it. And she doesn't even seem to care. And then as the passage goes on through verses 9 to 14, it's all about looking back and seeing the great train wreck of the guy's life. Those that are left behind on the sidelines and the regret that he finds himself in. There's so much regret there. From not heeding the warnings of others. And it's not a pretty sight. Friends, you may have a neighbour that this has happened to. You may have friends that this has happened to. You may have work colleagues that it's happened to. It may have even been a family member. It may have even been you. Complete devastation for all the people directly involved and all those that are connected. It's just like when you throw a pebble into still water. The ripples that come from that one little pebble ripple out and affect the whole pond. Except, usually when adultery happens, it's like throwing a boulder from a crane. They're not just ripples, they're waves, and they affect everyone tragically. If you've personally been through all that hurt, and the pain of adultery, no matter what part you played in the situation. Can I say today that I'm sorry for you? Sorry that you have had to go through and endure such hardship and pain? Proverbs 5 gives us a glimpse of what that must have been like. And it's not pretty. How comforting then is it to know that God's promises to remove our sin as far as the east is from the west. Psalm 103, verse 12. And that he comforts those who are hurting. From 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 3. And yet again, that his mercies are new every morning. From Lamentations 2, 22 to 23. Those verses bring comfort, hope, and joy for the future. And restoration. So take that opportunity. That helps us to make a bit more sense of verse 7 and 8, as they're a most powerful warning. You can almost hear the pleading from the Father to his sons here in verse 7. Now then, my sons, listen to me and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her and do not go near the door of her house. Here we find in verses 7 and 8 that he wants us just to keep as far away as we can. Don't even go near the door of adultery. Don't even think about it. It's pretty clear, isn't it, the message? And yet, we just can't seem to help ourselves, can we? We just think, maybe I could just walk past the door rather than not going anywhere near the door. I'll just walk past it. It'll be okay. But friends, God's designed our relationship to be with only one person. And we see that in the Ten Commandments. In Exodus chapter 20, verses 14, you shall not commit adultery. It's pretty clear, black and white. Everyone understands where we're at. Now, for most of us at this point, you're thinking, that's okay. I know the next couple of commandments is two, you know, don't murder, don't steal. And I've got most of those under wraps. I've got them in control. I've taken care of all of them. And you know what? Proverbs 5 probably isn't really an issue for me at all. it's not an issue in my life, and I'm coping just fine. At this point, can you please turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 and 28. So if you're following along in your Bibles at home, could you please turn with me now to Matthew chapter 5, verses 7 and 28. We'll look at that together. Matthew 5, starting at verse 27. You have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that anyone that looks at a woman with lust in his lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. I just want you to sit with that thought for a bit. See how you're starting to feel, whether there's any regret now, whether there's any desire to maybe rethink how well you're coping. And as you sit there thinking through, potentially, maybe I'm not as got this in control as I first thought, read on with me into verse 29. If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it's better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Jesus is saying here, if you can't help but look, then tear your eye out. Because it's serious. This whole adultery mindset is serious. Back in Proverbs 5, verse 7 and 8, the father was pleading, don't go near the door. Why? Because it's serious. And in Matthew, Jesus is saying that it's serious as well, because he says, tear your eye out if it helps you to stop. This should tell us to stop and look very closely at what you're looking at. So what movies are you watching at home? What TV shows have you been binge watching while you've been locked up in lockdown? What books are you reading? Don't just think it's a visual thing. Who are you speaking to? And what are you speaking about? And what internet sites, are you looking at? In this modern day, pornography is such an issue for everyone. You can't but not see it sometimes. It's just put in front of you. Men, I'm thinking of us at this point. We're obviously the target for such activities. But ladies, don't think you can just brush it aside. The stats say that ladies are involved in watching pornography at a fairly alarming rate. And of course, you mightn't be watching pornography, but you're reading romance and relationship novels that just tug at your heartstrings and achieve essentially the same end. If you do have a problem with pornography, please ask someone to help. You're not going to be able to do it on your own. You need to tell someone. You not only need to tell God, but you need to tell someone so that they can help you. They can get you along a pathway of moving on from pornography. It's just like any other addiction. It drags you in, and you cannot help it but sort of get tied up in the whole cycle of going around and around. Pornography and everything else associated, it's very hard to avoid. Usually when you're sitting in traffic, you can't help but see it, the pictures on the back of the bus. And all of a sudden, you're just there. As a plumber working in the building industry, there's peer pressure almost every day. There's videos getting sent round of the latest whatevers. There's girls to check out across the street, and everyone rates them in numbers. And there's the latest relationships on Tinder that you can brag about. And the list goes on. Trust me, it does. But as a follower of Jesus, and as a married man, I need to try and steer clear of all that stuff. Because it'll just make me think of my wife and how maybe I could do better. I mean, I certainly can't do better, folks. Let me just put that out there. I'm aware of who I am and what I am, and I certainly can't do better than what my wife, currently Vanessa. But it doesn't stop me from thinking, maybe I could. Maybe there is more. Folks, there's not. And the Bible's pretty clear about that. But we need to be aware that our thoughts are just as bad as our actions. Like verse 8 says, just stay away. just don't go near the door. I want us to move tack slightly now and to the other side of adultery, because it's not just a sexual thing. We need to be careful not to find fulfillment in others, that you should be finding fulfillment in your spouse. Make sure you're not just seeing the honey on their lips of others because your spouse doesn't give you what you need in an emotional sense or a conversational sense or whatever. When you're married. And part of that is providing and caring and loving for each other that no one else can offer or do. So friends, just don't go near the door at all. Take another step with me now across to Hosea, where we see Israel's compared to Gomer. Gomer was a prostitute, and God told Hosea to marry her. Bizarre and interesting and worth a read when you've got the time. But here we find the whole purpose for that relationship was to illustrate God and Israel's relationship. How God loved Israel, but Israel just treated him like dirt. They went off with other gods, with other people, and didn't give God the love and attention that he deserves. In Hosea chapter 3, verse 1, then the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by a husband, yet an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the sons of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love raisin cakes. Here we see that adultery can also be committed from the heart. We can see an act of adultery in our relationship with God. As our Creator and Lord, God calls us to love Him and Him alone. The very first commandment, have no other gods but me, from Exodus chapter 20 again. And when we see it, this most important commandment, Jesus says that we are to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, soul, mind and strength, from Mark 12. And if we love anything more than we love God, then we're committing adultery, just like the Israelites did. What or who do we put our trust in? Who or what do we take our guidance from? Who or what do we treasure above all else? It all comes from what our heart treasures. You might not have a problem with adultery in a physical sense, but how are you going spiritually? The things of wisdom of the world entice and look sweeter than honey to you, sweeter than anything the life-loving God offers. So folks, what do we do? How do we stop ourselves from falling into the trap of adultery, both physically and spiritually? Proverbs 5 has some helpful thoughts from 15 to 20. And if you're not there, just flip back to that now so that you can follow along. It says there that we should rejoice in our spouse, be satisfied with them at all times, commit yourself to them, enjoy what you first enjoyed with them. Remember that feeling when you were first together? Couldn't get enough of them, no one else in the world mattered, and it was just you and them. That was who you could only think about. Don't let others drink from your system. Let them be yours and yours alone. When it's talking about a system there, it's talking not about a toilet system that you flush, as romantic as that could be. Being a plumber, I find that sort of interesting, but alas. The system there, it's talking about a well that you would get your drinking water from. And you don't share that because if you share it, you'll have none of your own. And eventually, with no water, you don't live. And so when it says drink from your own system, it's saying have your own water supply and drink of your own. Don't share it with strangers. Now, if someone's dying, then obviously you could share water, but here the water's not talking about water. It's talking about your wife. Don't share your wife. Don't let others be part of the intimate relationship that you have with your spouse. Don't try and seek others to satisfy your needs of what you think you need. Find the ways of a for the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all his paths. That's Proverbs 5:21. For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all his paths. So when you're doing all these things, just remember, God's watching. God knows. And it's the same with God, is it not? Don't think you're best to move on for other gods to fulfill your needs. Your heavenly Father knows what you need, and he loves to provide and care for you. Don't be tricked by the world and its thinking that everyone else has more money than you do, or more stuff than you do, or their life's easier than yours because of their God. Life sometimes does seem difficult. And in those moments, that's when we need God more in our lives, not less. And as you start looking for help from others, you move further and further from God. Don't buy the story that you need to move on from your husband and wife. Don't buy the story that you need to move on from the gospel of the cross. That you have to keep up with the new God fad that's going around, whatever that may be. People are saying, you still don't believe that Bible stuff, do you? It's all old hat. You need to keep up with the latest fad. It's so much more exciting and new. You need to get into it. It's amazing. It'll make you feel awesome. It makes you feel awesome for now, but later, it leaves you hollow and spat out the back end again. But we do, don't we? As hard as we try, we just can't seem to help it. Doubt and desire move in. Our sinful, selfish hearts buy the lie that there's something better than God and his ways. Just like lots of people before us and those after us, from Adam and Eve to Jesus returns, again and again, spiritual adultery steps into our lives. And as hard as we try, you and I, we just can never stop doing it. It's behaviour that comes from us. And on our own, we stand no chance. So how do we tackle this adulterous situation? We need help. Who's going to help us? We need Jesus to renew our heart, to break the pattern, to break the cycle that we find ourselves in all the time, to help us see the worth and the value in God, in what he has done for us through Jesus. God promises that he will do this. From Psalm 51, verses 10 to 13. Feel free to read that later. It's a great psalm. For it is only then that we can see how much God loves us. When you stand at a position where you have nothing and then see what God has done for you, then you understand how much God loves you. When we see how much this love is for us, and we understand Jesus' death and resurrection are so needed and so powerful. We're never able to live up to God's standards and therefore deserve his right and just judgment, which will see us separated from God forever because of our sin that lives in our lives. Adultery being just one of the many sins that we face. God, being so great, full of grace and mercy for his people, though, he sent his one and only Son, Jesus, into this world from heaven, to live amongst us, to show and teach us, and then to pay the cost through death and resurrection. This is a cost that you and I could never pay. Therefore, because of this cost has been paid, we've been brought back into that right relationship with God, our Father. This new place, being in a right relationship with God, the Creator, is not from where we just find ourselves after Judgment Day, but it's also from the very moment when you put your trust in Jesus as your Lord and Saviour and confess that. If you already enjoy living under Jesus and having Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, then please live like you do. Enjoy life. Live life for God. Live life for your spouse. Live life showing that you love Jesus to those around you. Enjoy it. It has its ups and downs, and it is hard work sometimes. But because of Jesus, it should bring a whole new perspective and great pleasure. And it should help us to stop committing adultery in all forms. Friends, if you don't know Jesus yet as your Lord and Saviour, then please, today, don't put off learning about Jesus anymore. Don't put off asking those hard questions to someone. Because you just don't know how much longer you have. This pandemic has shown us that the world can change so rapidly, quickly, and sometimes permanently for people. Don't miss out. Because who knows how long you really do have. So ask someone. If you don't know the answers, then ask someone. John, our minister, our pastor, would love to speak to you, I'm sure. He'd have hours of conversation with you over the phone at this point, or through some sort of chat, internet stuff. Certainly, I'd love to chat with you as well. And normally, we'd take you out for coffee and we'd have chats for a long time and look through God's word together and discuss what Jesus has done for us. But make sure you do something. Don't sit there and just move on and not respond. Let's just cap where we find ourselves with Proverbs chapter 5 for this morning. Adultery, both physical and spiritual, it's a temptation to all of us. The grass always seems greener, much greener on the other side of the fence, does it not? Because her lips are like honey. They're sweet and the oil is smooth. But friends, don't deceive yourself. Don't buy the lie. It doesn't hurt anyone, and you're not robbing anything, and you're not taking away anything. It's just good for you. Because you are. It does hurt people. It does rob people, and you are hurting people. Don't adulterate your relationship with God by not having Him as your one and only God. You don't need any other gods when you have the God of the universe. God is a jealous God. Love Him above all things. Folks, enjoy the wife of your youth. Be exhilarated always with her. It's from verse 19. Enjoy growing together in your love of God and encourage each other not to be tempted by others. Encourage each other to guard the marriages in our church. Ask how people are going in their marriage. Pray for people and their marriages. So whether you're married or not, that's certainly a ministry that you can be involved in. Last week, folks, Matt spoke to us about watching your heart Last week, Matt spoke to us from Proverbs chapter 4, and his main point was, watch your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. And this week we've been confronted with ways our heart can be under attack so quickly and can so easily be led astray into very deep and dangerous waters. So let us keep each other accountable and encourage one another to guard our hearts, be reading God's word, be focusing on your relationships, and not seeing what the world is pulling and poking at you from outside. May the Holy Spirit help each of us as we read God's word. May our lives reflect that Jesus lives in us and that we're trying to live for Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. May it reflect the fact that Jesus has saved us. And while we wrestle against all forms of adultery or from any other sin in our lives, may we do so in a way that brings honour and glory to Him, and may it encourage each of us in our journey as the day before we meet our Heavenly Father comes closer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do praise you and thank you for the warnings that we find in Proverbs 5 and throughout the rest of your word. Father, we ask that you would help us to heed it. Father, we ask that you would help us to truly understand the joy and the great wonder that it is that you love us, that you have sent your Son to save us, and that Jesus can be and is our Lord and Saviour. Father, we want to thank you for that. We want to just marvel at that, sort of just be washed over with those thoughts. And Father, we ask that you would help us, protect us, guard our hearts, help us not to go near the door at all of adultery in our lives. We just pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.